So let's start out with The Walking Dead. And I gotta say, I loved season one. I bought the DVD. I was really excited for season two. Well, everyone seems to agree the pilot was amazing. You know, what
yes.
was just a crazy yeah. good, couldn't believe how well this was done, 60 minutes of television. And then I've heard a lot of people say it seemed to get worse every episode after the pilot. And I don't agree with that. I pretty much like season one all the way through.
I mean, I think that the pilot set just such an unrealistically high standard.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, that right there, it was like it was one character. It was something that you can't really do for a full series of a show. They focused really on one character. They had a lot of character development for that one character. They're able to have him do a lot of, you know, good zombie stuff. And they're able to, you know, kind of break up, like, mix the, you know, the action of the zombies and, you know, the terror there. And, like, he's confused. You as a viewer are confused and all that stuff. He's only got the interaction with two other living people. And it's really good there. And you couldn't do that once you were going to have other characters in the show who you had to start developing. So I think you are naturally going to get a drop off. I still enjoyed the other episodes, but some of it just didn't seem to come together quite as well. I personally thought that last episode in the CDC was actually, you know, a pretty good episode, which apparently is, I mean, I think looking back, the only one that I really dislike is the one with the gang in the old people's home.
Oh, but yeah.
Other than that, I mostly enjoyed the first season, and I apparently in this group here, I'm the only of three talking right now. I'm the only one who read the comics. So, I mean, there was a lot of changes from the comics, but other than little Hispanic grandmas, I thought it went over pretty well for the most part.
People said they didn't like the final episodes, but I liked that the gang kind of had a goal in mind. Like, at first they were just trying to survive, but then they, you know, had this clear goal. All right, we're going to get to the CDC. We're going to find the cure. And they kind of blew up in their face and all that. And that was just good drama, I thought. And it just seems like in season two, they're kind of spinning their wheels. They don't have that goal yet. And I think that's part of what's hurting the show for me.
Yeah, I think so. They do have that underlying goal of getting to that army base, but you really haven't seen any progress made, you know, toward that in the first 2.5 hours of this season. So it's been a little bit slower for me. But, you know, like Alec was saying, the first episode was just so damn good. I think what he said about it being one character and, like, developing that character for 90 minutes and doing it methodically and doing it so well, that just set, you know, a precedent that it's going to be really hard to reach for every single episode. It was almost like, you know, most people like the movie Castaway with Tom Hanks. It's almost like Castaway set in hell, you know, so of course you're going to root for this guy. But then, you know, you can't keep every episode to that standard. And, you know, I hate to say it, like, I don't like being a hater, but when the first season premiered a year ago, this was like the first show in I don't know how long that I was pumped for. And FFD, you know, he found that the first episode was leaked and he linked everybody, and I watched it a couple days early and was like, hot damn, this is really, really good. And I loved all six of those episodes. I was shocked that it was only six episodes for a first season. I was like, hey, wait, shouldn't it be like 20 episodes? You know, I was so bummed out when it was over after six, and I thought, you know, nothing was going to be as good. And then I watched Breaking Bad, and I hate to be a hater, but like The Walking Dead, even these first two episodes are still so awesome compared to like everything else, because I barely watch any other TV because it's all like reality shows that suck nowadays. But compared to Breaking Bad, it just like I should let's just put it this way: I should have waited until like right before season five's first episode to watch Breaking Bad. I watched it a year too early. It kind of ruined everything else.
It's the Wire effect. That was the same thing that happens to a lot of people. You watch The Wire, and then you try and watch anything else with police in it in any way, shape, or form. Good luck with that.
Yeah, I will watch The Wire one of these days, I promise.
Yeah, I was just going to make that exact same point. A lot of people have said, I can't really get into the season of Walking Dead because I don't care about these characters. And I feel like I don't know. They've been presented all right. I could care about them a little bit, but just the level of acting is bothering me, and I think that's almost entirely because I was just into Breaking Bad so heavily. You go actor to actor, and they're all on the top of their game, and they have this great dialogue, and Walking Dead is definitely a step down. I don't think it's as bad as it seems to me right now, but yeah, it is.
Right. If we watched Ice Road Truckers and then like went back to The Walking Dead, The Walking Dead's going to seem pretty damn good. But it's against like Breaking Bad, and I think probably just Breaking Bad, where it kind of falls flat. But I kind of get the feeling that like right now on television, what doesn't?
Yeah, and I think that's another one, like we were talking about the strengths of that first episode. Really, there was some pretty good acting in that first episode. They had very few actors. Is anytime your cast gets bigger, you're going to eventually you're going to have some weaker actors in there somewhere. And I think that when you get the kind of ensemble cast going, especially when they, you know, really haven't figured out their own characters yet, and it's especially, I do think that Darabont leaving hurt them. I think, you know, they fired the writing staff, was it midway through or at the end of season one, and they have like, so basically there's the new writing staff have been, this is their first two episodes of the show, so, and Darabont, who was the showrunner, isn't there anymore, and I mean, I think they're doing a capable job, but you know, it's going to be a really difficult situation for them trying to take over something like this and figure it out in time to, you know, put together a season like this.
I guess the only thing that bothers me is from that first episode, I just love that father and his son, and they didn't have a ton of screen time. They didn't have all kinds of dialogue, but I just feel like those two characters blew away everyone currently on the show that we're seeing this season. And I guess it bothers me a little bit that we're not getting back to that level. I'm going to stick with the show. I'm going to keep watching it. Hopefully it'll get close to those levels as this season goes on. Is it a 13-episode season, Alec?
I will have to double-check because I know that it's split in two.
Oh, okay.
Season, they're going to do like, it's 13 episodes, but they are going, 7 episodes going till November 27th. And then they're going to come back in, the spring. Which is pretty rough. I think though that might be, if they've filmed it all already, then it's stupid. But if they still have to do filming, I think that might be a good idea because it'll allow them to kind of, you know, the writing staff will be more on their game. They can see what worked, see what didn't out of these episodes, and we won't have to wait as long for the next season. And I mean, I'm not really sure how exactly they're going to go about this going forward, but I think that I know that the comics are very good, and there's a lot of crazy stuff that can happen in the future. And however they go about it, I think that it'll solve a lot of the issues once they kind of get in any one of those directions and kind of settle down on a track, and that'll help out. Because, you know, as was said, the kind of, you know, purpose of what they're doing will be more unified in the future. So
that is good to hear. You know, it did record ratings. The first episode, I think, had almost 8 million people watch it.
Yeah.
Which
is
just unheard of for a cable drama.
About zombies.
Smashed all records. So hopefully the audience sticks around and they keep improving these scripts as the season goes along.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, I'm kind of happy about the layoff, especially of Alex, as Alex said, if they're not done filming. You know, I am so up and high on AMC right now, and I've only seen two of their shows that I'd much rather have them take a layoff and take their time and do it right than to try to rush anything.
Yeah, and apparently February 12th is when it will come back.
All right, so for another 6 episodes?
We've had 2, we'll have 5 more, then episode 8 will be on February 12th.
So that'll probably run until about the end of March, and then that means it's a really short wait from that point until the final season of Breaking Bad. So I actually think it's a pretty good idea.
Yeah. Yep, that'll work out nice. But one thing that is bothering me about episode two, and I just gotta say it. Everything about that farmhouse really bothered me, just coming from the zombie apocalypse. And you run up to the house, and there's a thin screen door on the front door that they just flick open and let people in. And none of the windows are boarded up. And there's huge windows, and they're all over the place. And it's just these thin barbed wire around the house and no kind of fortifications. It just felt so out of place for a zombie apocalypse end of the world scenario. And yet these people are living apparently so comfortably. And this Otis guy is somehow still really fat.
despite he lives on a farm. He can come up with his own food.
There being hardly any food and everyone's starving and zombies are chasing all over the place. I don't know. That bugged me. Am I crazy here, Alec?
I mean, I will say that is the same, as far as I remember, in as it was in the comic. So I will not go any further than that. I expect that it will make more sense in the show as well too. Although on my own accord, I will just say, you know, when the zombie apocalypse comes, I'm moving to Vermont. You know why? Because there's no one there. And therefore, even if everybody in Vermont turned into zombies, you'd never see us. Get out there in the farmland. You won't see people for days at a time. You'd be in great shape.
Yeah, I didn't really notice at the time, but now it almost, now that I think about it, it felt like stepping out of hell and into a Little House on the Prairie. Especially since the doctor, the main guy, the old man, felt like he was ripped out from like the 1800s, didn't he? He was like, he's like an old style Dr. Quinn kind of doctor, you know? It's like, he's got like his little briefcase and stuff. And, I don't know, it was funny.
I'm glad you went with the Dr. Quinn reference there. I was bothered somewhat more looking at all the people who are kind of, you know, just sitting in cars on the highway.
Dead.
Just like dead.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, how exactly does that work out? You know, like you saw like the blood smears in the cars. That's one thing. But, you know, in the first episode, when Carl goes into the truck, there's a guy just chilling there. He's got a shotgun, like, across, or like all the knives across his lap, and, you know, just chilling. And it's like, what the hell happened there?
That I have wondered about, and you're right, it makes no sense. I mean, why not leave your truck? Why not, you know, die out in the field running from something? It's like, what, did they die of boredom? And he's still clutching the knives. He's not even holding one, like, bracing for something, you know? I think, were they all too scared to get out of their cars and just died of starvation? It doesn't seem like that would make sense.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I'm going to go, even though it's not appropriate here, I'm going to go off of the 28 weeks later zombie transformation ideal. Can you imagine that guy just sitting in the car? No. So, you know, you would think that if you were turning into a zombie, he wouldn't just, you know, chill out in the car like, fuck, man. Oh, look at all these brake lights. Radio.
Zombie apocalypse, all this traffic.
Really don't like their approach to dead bodies in this show. Like, if I were these guys, I would have out a machete, and every time you came across a car or someone laying in the road and they appear to be dead, you know, just cut off the head.
Yeah, you would make sure.
Or smash their brains open or something. I mean, that's one less that you're going to have to deal with 20 minutes later when the big pack arrives. Or if you want to, you know, start a bonfire or whatever, I mean, that'd probably attract the still living
zombies. You mean in episode one where when they were, the pack arrived and somehow they didn't see this huge pack until they were right on top of them?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I love that. There's obviously some silliness of the story, but whatever. I mean, you got to keep it fresh, right? I mean, if you're, you know, it's hard to make being ambushed by 300 zombies like that plausible.
Sure. The other thing that bothered me a little is it seemed in season one they were smarter, like there's a big pack of zombies and we need a distraction. So then someone jumped in a car and like set off the car alarm and drew them all away. And then in this episode, they're like, all right, let's light 6 signal flares and throw them 10 feet away so that all the zombies turn and look over there, and then we'll be back, you know, to be standing right in front of the door when we have to leave.
Well, why Shane had a great way out. He had bait with him.
I mean, yeah, he does. About 300 pounds worth.
Yeah, that guy's going to die pretty soon, isn't he? I don't think he's making it to the end of season two. Why didn't they take more signal flares with them and just kind of, like, open the door a little bit and toss them the other way when they were in that, you know, that tiny little hospital room?
I also like that apparently there's nothing else more valuable than flares in this cop car. In the trunk of the car, which apparently, you know, hasn't been ransacked, and they've only got, like, the six shooter and the hunting rifle. I mean, raid the back of that car. I learned from Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
Anytime you've got an open trunk, shit in there. And it's a cop car's trunk, too. There's got to be, you know, at least, you know, a shotgun or a crowbar or something.
I don't know. Maybe Rick is the brains of the operation.
Yeah. But you know what? To the show's credit, you know, while I was watching the episode, I did not pick up most of these kind of silly little things that you guys have noticed. So I guess I was pretty caught up in the drama of the thing, and that's a good sign.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm talking here. I'm nitpicking a lot, but I am definitely still enjoying it. I'm definitely gonna stick with it. I definitely think it's going to improve. But it is these little things that, you know, I don't feel that they ruin my enjoyment of the show. I just find them little amusing things. How unprepared all these people, these right here, these are the best that, you know, this is supposed to save society. These are our survivors.
Signal flares.
Yeah, they seem, well, aside from Daryl, who's pretty much becoming the best character on the show. Everyone else seems like, how did you survive this long? We'll see if that improves. I'm glad to hear what Alex said about he thinks it's heading in good directions based on what the comics have done. So we'll see if the show does that. Now let's switch over to Breaking Bad. And let's start out, no spoilers for season four to start here. And just say, Alec, you've seen The Wire. You thought it was the greatest thing. Is Breaking Bad on that level? Could it be the new best drama you've ever seen?
I have been saying when I've been talking about this, this is the second show that I have felt ruins other shows for me by being so good. I don't know that it's my favorite show because I thought before watching Breaking Bad was the best show I'd ever watched. I didn't think it was my favorite show. I've liked other shows that I know are, like, you know, not as good, but, and Breaking Bad is another one of those shows. It's a great show. I think I'd have to put it up there. Might not make it into, like, even, I'm right now, I can't really judge it because I love this season, but if I gave it some time, I might not put it in my top five favorite shows, but it would definitely be in my top three best shows I've watched. So it is really fantastic that, you know, kind of the television that they've been able to put out, you know, in this last decade.
High praise indeed. And you'll, without spoiling, try to talk our listeners into watching Breaking Bad.
Well, like Alex said, it might not be my favorite show ever. It's definitely up there, but I have not yet seen The Wire. I have not yet seen Game of Thrones, which is another new one that people are talking up really, really well. So, you know, not having seen those two, Breaking Bad is easily, and I mean easily, the best show I've ever seen on television, ever in my whole life. And I'm not the biggest TV fan, but I have been alive for 25 years, and this is the best one. The best acting, the best characterization, the best camera work, you know, among the best use of music, just the best tension and the best use of, like, methodical storytelling in order to get you invested that I have ever seen. It is so far above everything else that, like I said earlier, I'm almost turning into a hater, whereas, you know, a year ago, The Walking Dead I thought was the best thing ever, and now it's just kind of, almost kind of crappy compared to this show. And it's not a spoiler, but I do want to point out a scene in near the end of season four. Don't worry, it won't spoil anything. It's the main character, Walter White. He breaks into his lawyer's office because he needs to talk to his lawyer. So he kind of like breaks through the window, and you know, he kind of gets an earful, and he leaves. And instead of just leaving through the door, he like crawls out the same window again. And apparently, it was a very comical scene. Like, apparently people were laughing on the TV board and everything. I didn't even notice because I was so involved in the drama. Like, I was so involved in the drama of this character, I did not even notice the humor of the scene. Like, I didn't even notice. You know, I was just so invested. And that is the level of that show. You will just not give a shit about anything else. So I might, you know, if you're, like, busy and if you like other crappy things, I might almost advise that you not watch this because it's so much better than everything else. Like, almost everything else sucks now. It's like, I'm so hyped for Skyward Sword, but in a sense, I'm kind of disappointed because I know Walter White will not be in Skyward Sword. Okay, it's that good, I'm basically telling you.
And yeah, let me just say all the complaints that you just heard about The Walking Dead. No, I'm not really invested in these characters. Oh, I don't really feel for them. Absolutely the opposite for Breaking Bad. As a first-time watcher, you might be seeing some episodes and thinking, oh, this is such a slow burn. When is some action going to happen? When there's going to be a firefight and all this? But as you get further along in the series, you care so much about these characters. You know them so well that even minor action sequences or someone's in danger, it's absolutely riveting and so much tension. It's just miles apart from even, you know, some the really tense, really well-done action scenes they do on Walking Dead, just because you have that level of connection to the characters. So, agree with these guys. Absolutely. Go ahead, watch it. It's streaming on Netflix now. There's lots of other ways to watch it, so do that. And now we're going to get into spoiler territory. So if you're not up to date yet on Season 4, pause. Get up to date, and then rush back, and we'll finish it out. All right, Alec, me and you talked about this a lot without being recorded last week, and where were you leaning on the whole, heading into the final episode, who poisoned Brock? What were your thoughts there before you had it revealed?
I kind of was thinking that there was something off, but I didn't really have the time to think about it because I had started watching the series about a week before the finale aired. I ended up watching the penultimate episode about the day after the finale and immediately went to the finale episode. So I didn't really get much time to think in between, but there was definitely kind of a feeling that it was off. But, you know, if you had asked me after episode 12, I would have thought maybe it wasn't maybe it wasn't Gus, but I wouldn't have thought that it would be who it was. So,
well, you can go ahead and say it now because only those who are caught up will be listening.
Yeah, I did not think that it was going to be Walter White, but you know, of course, and in retrospect, there's so many things like the things that, you know, the filmmaking of the show is just so good. Just the little things that they do, and you know that it's going to be significant, like when he's out there and he's, you know, spinning the gun around and, you know, points at the flower pot and he like kind of thinks for a second and stuff like that. It like, it kind of triggers, but I didn't like really think about it. And it just, when you look back and it's so obvious, but it's so well done. It's great.
I love that. There were so many interpretations you could give it. And when I first watched it, I thought, I don't really buy that it's Gus, but I don't think it's Walter either. I thought Brock kind of did it to himself, like stole one of Jesse's cigarettes and just tried it out because he wanted to be cool, like his role model Jesse, and did it to himself. And then as the week went on, I was hearing more people talk about and pointing out little things. They think Huel, the bodyguard, kind of patted down Jesse and wasn't just looking for a gun, but it almost looked like he stole something out of his pocket. And pointing out these little things, and why was it pointing at the plant? And so I was kind of coming around to the Walt side, but it was still really stunning to have it come out the way it did, and with that final scene to end the season, zooming in on the plant, I thought was just perfect.
Absolutely perfect. Same boat as Alec, like we talked about, I think it was last week or a week and a half ago. I wasn't sure whether or not it was Gus, but I did not think it was Walt. By that point, Walt had, like, lost his mind, and I, you know, throw the moral argument out the window, whether or not you morally think he could stoop to this, you know, reprehensible level. I just didn't think he was at the mental capacity where he could have come up with a plan this complicated. I thought that was totally in Gus's realm, that he could do things this complicated and predict people's behavior in such a manner. That's totally Gus. That's not Walt. So I think it harkens back to the episode or two before where Walt had his breakdown in the crawl space. That was when he totally threw away the veneer of Walter White and completely adopted Heisenberg, everything about him, and just, you know, and just like totally blew the show into even another level, and everything after that was just so damn good.
The thing you said last week I kind of agree with, in that Walt has always been a borderline genius, but at a scientific level, at a chemistry level, at coming up with these weird ways to use science to help solve his problems. And I agree with you. I didn't think he was capable of this kind of manipulation to say, it was basically setting up dominoes and saying, all right, so Brock gets sick and that'll cause Jesse to run over here. And then I'm going to pin the blame on someone else and it'll all work out. I didn't think he was capable of that kind of manipulation, and that was one of the ones that really surprised me.
He's tried that before in the show, and, you know, I can't recall the specific instances, but I think every single time it's been a spectacular failure.
Yeah.
So he's the man when it comes to science, but when he tries to manipulate others, like, total fail. And, you know, once again, that's one of the things that I really, really loved about how the climax went down, and it really functions as not almost like a season finale, but as a series finale. It was so good. You know, Walt used his main strength, which is, of course, the science, in order to craft the bomb and everything, and he combined it with Gus's only weakness, which is his personal vendetta against Uncle Salamanca, and that was, like, the only way that he could kill him. He used his greatest strength, combined that with Gus's only visible weakness, and used that to get the kill. I just thought that was so brilliant, because he really wasn't going to do it any other way.
And, you know, looking into it, the whole thing, Gus, throughout everything, had been untouchable because he didn't get emotional about everything. He was completely rational about everything. He was able to think how the other people would react. He was able to figure out everything in advance. And he had the right people near him. He knew exactly how much he could trust them. And then on the other hand, you had Walt. And Walt, who so many times has let his ego get in the way. And that is, you know, the two things about Walt is, one, he has that really wounded ego that has led him to so many stupid things, like when he got Hank back on his trail because he couldn't stand the idea of dinner of someone else getting credit. And the other thing about Walt, though, is he is like – has become like a compulsive liar to the point where he's lying about things that he doesn't need to lie about anymore, when he will just lie about anything that he's involved in just, you know, to lie. And I mean, at first it was kind of, you know, just telling, it was, you know, to keep his family away, but now it's like he lies too much and he gets himself in so much worse shape for it. But, you know, seeing that it was really Walt's weakness, which had been what Gus had played Walt with the whole time, using his emotions, using his pride, and that was finally the one chink in the armor that Gus fell down to, was that he let his emotions get the best of him.
Yep, I agree with you guys totally. Gus was basically a superhero, and his one Achilles heel was Hector. He had this blood feud, and you know, his motto is always, you know, don't let it be personal, keep it all business, keep it all logical, and think everything through. And then here was the one part of his chess game where he just did not cover his tracks, and he got himself too emotionally invested, and he told him things that he obviously should not have done, and would not have risked in any other situation. And that's what I was saying. I think, because heading into the final episode, I was thinking, all right, I think Gus has to die, and I just hope it comes back to Hector, because that's the one thing in his whole life where his pride has gotten the better of him, and it just makes sense if that was the reason for his downfall. Now, let's talk about that final scene with Gus. Some people love it. Some people think it went a little too far. Alec, where do you sit on that debate?
On the what? The walking out of his room, of the room part?
Straightening his tie.
Yes.
Camera pans over.
I thought that was perfect, because that was so fitting, because, you know, and I mean, it wouldn't be correct on all shows, but he has been almost superhuman on this show. And it figures that even in his death, he is still something more than all these other characters. Like, if any other character, if, you know...
Beneke.
If and when Walt dies, if he gets... I don't think he would... It would make sense for him to have a protracted, you know, scene like that. Yep. I don't think if Jesse dies, it would make sense. I don't think any other character on the show, it would make sense. But he is so different from the rest of the show. He is that superhuman character who almost, you know, doesn't fit the universe, and that was what his character was based on. So I thought it was a very fitting send off. And yeah, you have to, you know, put off, do a bit of suspension of disbelief. And, you know, I can understand why it bothers some people, but I felt that it was a thematic decision that really fits the character.
Yeah, I thought it was so well done. And what I liked is at the very last moment, he realizes what's going on. And you hear him scream, and then we cut away too quickly to see what really happens. So as he walks out the door, you're thinking, did he figure it out just in time to hide behind a table or duck down and not get hit by so much of the shrapnel? And you're like, I can't believe it. He actually did survive this. And then as you swing around and
not to
see
survive,
the...
Not a scratch on him.
His tie was a little disheveled.
It needed a
quick adjustment, but then he was going to walk on out and, you know, go right after Walt. And then to see just the side of his face caving away, just, I thought, the perfect send off.
Yeah, and I think that fits even more, too, because every time until now, whenever Walt has thought he has his plan to defeat Gus, and Walt's got his plan, he thinks he's won. And then Gus is like, that really was your plan? And just, you know, smiles at him and then slits his own guy's throat or, you know, has Mike tell him to leave or something and all this stuff. And so now in this final act, you have Walt once again with his plan, and where it has always failed before, and he thinks he's won. And then you get this flash for a second. You're like, oh my God, again. Somehow Walt thought he had everything planned out, and it failed. And then, so just that, you know, that trick for a second where you think, shit, not again. And then
exactly,
he's around. Yeah.
Yeah, that was amazing. And let's contrast that with the possible death of another of our favorite characters, Mr. Ted Beneke. This is another one where some people have reacted very poorly to his possibly final scene, and I thought it was again perfect.
Perfect. perfect.
Like, you know, if Gus's death scene is a 10 out of 10, Ted's is a 0 out of 10, and that's exactly what he deserved, and that's exactly what this character had given us for the last 3 seasons. Yo, do you agree?
100%, and I just want to touch on Gus's death a little bit. I completely agree with you guys, and I think the way that they killed him off, you know, with him walking out, appearing to be unscathed, of the 2 million or however many people who watched that episode, not a single one, you know, didn't think, oh shit, he still lives. Every single person watching it thought, he lived. How in the bleeping bleep did he live? That's what I was thinking until they panned around. And so the writers knew that was going to happen, so it demonstrates not just as Alec was saying, like a tremendous understanding of the character, because that is the death that Gus deserved, but a tremendous understanding of your audience, because they knew that every single person watching thinks that of Gus, thinks that if he would step out, everybody would totally buy him being alive, just by virtue of him being Gustavo fucking Fring. So that, just giving you those few seconds where you're able to think that, I just think that was perfect. Because I don't know about you guys, although I can surmise to guess that you were in the same boat with me. But I know that when he stepped out, I was thinking, he lived. How in the hell did he live? Tell me how he lived. You know?
Oh, my God. The show producers knew what we were thinking.
Yeah.
They gussed us.
It's, you know, trying to like one up this show's production and Gus and everything is like trying to one up Ulti in a topic that everybody knows is going to reach 500. You're just not going to do it. He's just going to come up with some ridiculous bullshit, and you know, just, there's no point in even trying. But
or
anyway,
it's like arguing with Yo Blazer when you know he's just going to whip something out. Like Link has always spoken.
Yeah, no, that's not
his language.
I mean, I don't know, Link. I don't want to say that Link's got nothing on Walter White, because, I mean, we'd have to cut that out, NG. I know you didn't want to edit any of this, but that has to be edited. But anyway, Beneke's death, it was when I first saw it, I didn't even think he was dead. I was like, that is not Breaking Bad. That's, you know, that's Benny Hill. Like, it just doesn't work. I don't expect that from the show, that he'd die that way. And then when people actually, on the boards and stuff, when they started saying that, oh, no, he's dead, believe me, that's it. And I was like, yeah, wow, he's really dead. And then Smitel said, you know what, that's the perfect death that he deserves. Then I just thought about it, and I just started laughing, because that's the perfect death for him. Because, I mean, I know a lot of the board, like, hates Skyler White. They think Skyler's the worst character. But, like, Ted Beneke is so bad, he makes Skyler god tier. Like, he's definitely the worst. Like, nobody liked the scenes that he was in. Everybody hated the character. Such an unlikable little, like, slimy douche. You know, it's like, nobody liked him, and he did not deserve a Gustavo Fring death. He did not even, like, deserve a cool death like those two drug dealers that Walt ran over, you know? Like, those guys got a pretty cool death. Beneke did not deserve shit like that. No way. I mean, let alone, like, the scene where Hank got shot four times and Gus lost half his face. No, he deserves to trip over his own carpet, slide 15 feet across the floor, and bang his head on the cupboard and die. That's exactly what he deserved, and he got it.
The weird thing about Ted is that I actually, in earlier seasons, I didn't hate him, because he put everything in terms of, I need to keep this company afloat, and these people are counting on their paychecks, and blah, 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 they have families to feed. And I was like, okay, I kind of understand that. And then this season, you know, he gets this windfall, hundreds of thousands of dollars out of nowhere, and he's, all right, gotta get my car back. All right, gotta, you know, start helping myself. Okay, I'm not gonna pay off the IRS. It'll all figure itself out. So this season, I think we saw the true Ted, and then I realized this is like the worst character I've seen in a long time. Yeah. And this guy needs to get out of here. Alec, what'd you think? Was it the perfect ending for him?
Exactly. I mean, it goes along, again, with it's fits his character, and, you know, it fits the show thematically. I mean, I don't want to do the Wire spoilers, because none of you have watched that, but they were really good. If and when there was a character death, it would be very fitting for the character and be very fitting for the themes of the show. And Breaking Bad has always had that, you know, low element of kind of the dark humor in it. And, you know, always the kind of like ridiculous little kind of pathetic stuff. And it's getting that in, and like, it's perfectly fitting because he's a little bitch. He deserves a little bitch death.
Yeah,
and,
totally did.
And I mean, after all of the time that we've spent with our palms fixed firmly to our foreheads whenever he was on screen, I'm glad that we got that little bit of dark comedy in his death. So, in his hopeful death. So.
And yeah, you touched on another point there. These last three or four episodes were great TV, really gripping. But the thing that just stunned me is there were also so many funny moments, like out of the drama and out of the tension. There were these little breaks And Yo mentioned one earlier, but Walter breaking into Saul's office and then having the debate with his secretary, and she, you know, it's going to cost, what was it, $20,000 to fix this
reputable car dealer.
No reputable windows dealer.
Fixer, but
it's going to charge that. He's a criminal mastermind. You know, he's just about to put together his master stroke and win this battle that he's been having with his genius boss for a year. And yet it's totally going over his head that he's being blackmailed here. It just was, it's so funny, but it's so perfect for his character as well that he just doesn't get it after this long.
Yeah, as much as he's wanted, like, this whole time, he's always wanted to be Heisenberg, and he always wants to be, you know, that guy and let his, you know, the guy that his ego says that he should be. And then whenever he does it, he just can't do it. Like, he can't be the drug kingpin that he wants to be. And now he can't even, you know, pick up when people are trying to blackmail him. It's just very fitting.
I actually wanted to touch on something probably for the end of this little discussion. The only thing I really dislike about this, the end of this season, as masterfully and perfectly as it was crafted, it might not even relate to the show. It might even relate to myself, because Vince Gilligan, the creator, said by the end of season 4, nobody is going to feel sympathy for Walter White. He's going to do something so wretched that nobody's going to be rooting for him. And of course he did that by poisoning a child, endangering his life in order, you know, to save himself, essentially. But I'm not only still rooting for Walter White, I really want him to win. I, like, want him to win even more now. You know, it's like, it's so terrible for me that I don't give a shit that he poisoned this kid. Like, fuck, poison all the kids you want. You are Heisenberg. You got this shit. Poison in elementary school. I don't care. You are Heisenberg. And throughout the show, the only time, well, you know, I can't say that, but because I always feel for the characters, but I think the time that I most felt sympathetic for a character who was killed was for Gail Bedecker, because the guy did nothing wrong. And if you guys watch the show and know about the character, he is like this meek dude, like, posting on Board 8 that just got in way over his head and then took a shot to the face for it. I mean, the poor guy, he, like, lives in an apartment by himself, single, probably a virgin, receding hairline, you know, kind of goofy voice, checks the damp temperature on his tea with like a magnetic, like, electric temperature gauge thing from, like, half the room away. He, like, points it at it like a little gun, you know. He's like a total nerd, like, and he just didn't deserve to die like that, you know what I mean? He didn't deserve to die at all.
But
remember, he had the Ron Paul for president sticker in his meth notebook. I mean, he might be Smart Muffin, for God's sakes. Don't you feel any sympathy for Smart Muffin?
Well, now I'm imagining him with him being so nice and everything, and everybody else around him being such horrible people. I'm just imagining that as, like, Silver Ermine making meth.
Exactly.
He's really into what he does. He's really happy about it. He loves it and can't see how these other people are trying to take advantage of him. But I gotta say, I'm a Jesse man at this point. I'm rooting for Jesse. I'm hoping that he takes Walt down before Hank does, to get revenge for his dead girlfriend, who I really wanted to kill myself, but, you know, that's beside the point.
I gotta agree.
She looked weird from the neck above, didn't she? She kind of had a weird look about her, but
she did, yeah.
Yeah, she had a good, you know, waist down. Pretty good. I noticed.
I'm just hoping final season is him slipping the rice in, and Walter being like, "Do I taste something? Yeah, chili pea, bitch."
Bitch.
No, I gotta agree with Yo. Vince has said, "Oh, Walter will be totally irredeemable, and I don't know if people will be able to be behind him in season 5." And I disagree. I'm going with Yo here. I was on Team Gus for a lot of this season when Walter was just spinning his wheels and basically acting like a 5-year-old with a temper tantrum for a lot of the season, but he pulled himself together at the end and he had a plan. It was fun to watch, and I was still on his side against Gus. I'll agree with Alec, though. I hope it comes through Jesse, that's the ultimate confrontation, is Jesse learns all this stuff that Walt has done to him behind the scenes and behind his back, and that's the confrontation. Though I'm really interested in seeing where the whole Hank investigation ends up in this next season as well.
I have to say, one of the little like filmmaking things that I really liked kind of disproportionately was, you know, you see Hank in all these episodes and he's in his room and, you know, it's a disaster zone. He's got all this stuff, all this rocks, minerals around. And when his fellow cop comes to visit him and he's like, has to move all the stuff off the chair just to clean up like a square foot for him to sit down and talk to Hank. And Hank is like down in the dumps and completely, you know, not into it. And then he gets into the file, and then the guy comes back to talk to him about the file, and they go into Hank's room, and Hank's room is pristine. Yep. And like showing, like, before he was a slob and he didn't have any purpose and he was completely down and, you know, had no meaning, nothing driving him. And now he has the drive again and his whole life is coming back together. And I thought that was, you know, one of those little things that I like to see, that there's so many of them in the show, and you see these little things that you could completely miss, but they add to the show.
Well, I didn't even notice that. And now that you've brought it up, you know, we're telling you again, everybody, best show ever.
Yeah, Hank's transformation this season was great to see. And that's another amazing thing about this show, is I loved Hank once he got started working and he was coming up with this whole plan and getting so excited. That was really fun to see. His reveal with Gus's fingerprint on the coffee cup was just epic. That was one of the best moments of the season.
Yeah, I think it kind of got lost in terms of epic moments because, you know, the end of the season had had Gus killing off the entire cartel and, of course, the season finale and Walt's breakdown in the crawlspace. But that was probably one of the best endings to any episode of the season. I remember the TV board just losing their collective shit over it.
Yep, absolutely. But the crazy thing about the show is I loved Hank so much and I really wanted him to come up with it. But then I was like, wait a minute, Gus is totally awesome as well.
Yep.
I love this guy. I don't even know where my loyalties lie right now, because I like both these guys and I like Jesse as well. And the whole side story this season, maybe my favorite subplot, Jesse and Mike, the adventures of Jesse and Mike, was so much fun. And Mike, for a while there, became my favorite character of the season. Alec, was it same for you?
I have always been a bit of an outspoken fan of Mike, and I say always for the, you know, the 2 weeks that I've watched this show. But, you know, just talking about in like the Board 8 chat and stuff, as, you know, the people were showing up with me, I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, Mike. And, you know, I like to point out, if Mike is there in that final episode, we've still got Gus.
Yep.
That shit ain't happening on Mike's watch.
Yeah, Tyrus, give me a break. You know, I love the character, and even with Mike, I think the fact that they take time, and few shows will do this, they take time to flesh him out in such a way that they show him with his granddaughter, buying her ice cream, you know, buying her balloons, things like that. It just makes you care for him that much more. And what you were saying, NG, where, like, you care about Hank, and you want to root for Hank, but then you also want to root for Gus, and you want to root for Pinkman, and you want to root for Walt, and you want to root for Mike. You know, that's the mark of a show that's truly masterfully done, because every character is crafted and multi-layered in such a way that you sympathize with them and you see the humanity in them, and you just can't – it's hard to root for one over the other. You know, like, that's why they have to introduce characters like Beneke, so they give you somebody to, like, hate and want to see die, you know? That's because otherwise everybody else is too damn good, and, like, you wouldn't even know where your, you know, where your allegiances should go in terms of the characters. So it is just masterful. And in terms of Mike, yeah, dude, total badass, hard-ass, like – PI, assassin, bodyguard, former beat cop. Guy does it all. Just a beast.
I have to say, this season, one of the things that really surprised me is that the show managed to get me to sympathize with Marie.
Wow.
was being a dick to her. Yep. And it's like, wow, I really hate her, and I'd be pissed off around her too, but come on, Hank, lay off a bit.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, still wasn't quite sold on the whole kleptomania angle.
Yeah, not that part.
Possibly the only kind of weak subplots this season. Didn't seem to really go much of anywhere, but
yeah, probably the weakest one.
Yeah, but still, her, just trying to be a good wife and trying to help Hank out, and him being such a jerk to her, yeah, felt for her there. All right, last character we haven't touched on. She's been called the worst character ever in about 20 Board 8 topics.
Board 8 hates this
character.
In the
last 3 weeks. Skylar White.
I think that she's for the most part, a good character in that I can understand almost everything she does. But I hate her. Because for those early seasons, she's this antagonist to Walt. And, so I think you're kind of set up in the first few seasons that, even though everything that she's doing makes sense, you don't really, it pisses you off. It's like, oh, come on, we want to see Walt, become Heisenberg and, get tons of mess and stuff. But there have definitely been some times where she just does stuff that frustrates me regardless. But I think that she is kind of, one of the few characters there who, she's got a meth cook as a husband.
Manufacturer.
And, manufacturer. And, how the fuck is she supposed to deal with that? And, so I can understand where it's coming from. It's just really frustrating, but it's frustration that the show wants you to have. It's dramatic frustration as opposed to something like Kate on Lost, where the show would be better off if she was shot. So
I really disliked her, especially early in season 3 when she was just being, I thought, unreasonable. Obviously, Walt was going behind her back and all this stuff, but still. I got excited when she said, all right, what if I ran the car wash and we kind of laundered the money that way? Because I thought, she's actually going to be good at this. And I thought she mostly redeemed herself here in season 4. I especially love that scene where she comes in with the IRS guy.
Oh, yeah.
Who's all in Ted's business and looking at the books, and her dumb blonde performance there, I thought was just masterful. And so little things like that she did this season, I thought mostly got her back. I still don't love her as a character, but I think the hate on Board 8 and on the internet is a little overblown.
I love that IRS scene just because, as a second-rate accountant myself, as soon as she said Quicken, I just got such a laugh out of it that I knew most people wouldn't get, but just masterful. I felt like that joke was just for me. It was brilliant. Skylar is a really intriguing character because she's the only one that I have a lot of trouble getting. For Walt, as complex and multi-layered and awesome as he is, I feel like I know the character. I understand where he's coming from. Same with Gus, same with Pinkman, same with Hank. Skylar is weird, and I think a lot of people, seems like, especially the people who have started to watch the show now, hate her from the beginning, because like you said, she is, throughout the beginning of the show, Hank's primary antagonist. It's not really like Emilio and Crazy 8, Those guys are just kind of like accessories to drive the plot forward. It's his wife who he has to keep the secret from. So the fact that he just constantly lies and lies and deceives her, obviously that's going to put a terrible strain on any relationship, and I could understand her being cold to him in light of that, where your husband is so distant from you and he's obviously keeping a big secret. You obviously know he's got a second cell phone for some kind of a nefarious reason, and so I could understand her being cold with him. And even in season 3, I said, Angie, in a topic, I could understand why the board hates Skylar now, because when she's doing Ted and everything, and that's just
yep.
I hated her because, you were designed to hate her, but I still could kind of see, why the character would do that, even though I didn't think it was you know, reasonable, and that just maybe because I'm a man and like men and women look at things differently. Maybe you got Endgirl here to analyze it. Maybe she'd come up with a different analysis. I mean, it's that level of complication in the show. But what I really dislike is that it seems like the change in Skylar going from, oh wow, you're a drug dealer, I'm leaving you, I'm calling the cops, I'm taking the kids, you have no more part in my life, I don't care about you, IFT, you know, all this stuff, all this, you know, terrible like retribution and wrath that she threw upon him, it seems like she went from that to, okay, how about we buy the car wash, I'll launder the money, I'll be as knee deep in this as you are. It seems like that transition was way too quick. Like, what happened, you know? It almost seemed like the way she was vehemently opposed to him and you know, the secret and everything, the way that she wouldn't even consider his side of the story, she was just so cold and just wrathful that she would never even like consider taking him back, let alone being almost as big of a criminal as he is. You know what I mean? It seems like that didn't make sense to me. I didn't really know where that came from. It feels that's like the only part of the story where I feel like, okay, maybe obviously the writers kind of, they had to do that. But it was almost like, I think they made her initial reaction to him a bit too harsh, because for me, I just can't like reconcile the two. The complete, like, the wrath and the iciness of the, you know, the initial reaction versus a couple of episodes later, oh, you know, let's do this together. It for me, I can't reconcile the two. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that might have been one of the times where I talked about how slow burning this show is, and it's willing to let its plots play out kind of naturally. And that transition might have been a little quick, because I think in a lot of other cases, like, you know, Jesse kills Gail, and you think, how is he going to take this? How is he going to, you know, how is this going to affect him emotionally? And it's not like the next day he's just up and at it. We go through episodes where he's, you know, having this never-ending party and clearly so out of it and really depressed. Mm-hmm. And I think in almost every other case, that's how they treated these characters. They gave them the time to naturally come around, and there it did seem a little quick, a little bit forced. Maybe a slight misstep there.
I think the best way to explain that is with some very sexist comments.
Uh-oh. Look out, N-Girl.
Yeah, this is clearly just that, clearly the Breaking Bad showing the important theme that women are irrational and volatile. And very, very, very good on you, Breaking Bad producers, for showing this well-known fact.
Yeah. Our next user of the year! You've got it locked up.
All right. I think that covers all the main points. Oh, did you guys notice the possible crossover scene that we saw in Walking Dead?
I saw
this
that
week?
Pointed out, and I did not see it at all on the first time.
Yep, I did not catch it on my initial view. Yo, have you heard about that?
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
When what's his name? Daryl.
When Daryl pulls out the drugs from the motorcycle, and he's going through, and among it is a bag of blue meth.
Really? Huh.
Yep, he specifically mentioned, well, meth is one of the first things he mentions, and he's digging through all his, you know, bottles, and one of them, you can see that the contents are blue just after he mentioned the meth.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, when he mentioned the meth, I obviously think, oh, meth, haha, Walter White.
Yep.
But I didn't think it would, even if there's blue, I don't think it would be anything more than just a, you know, a reference to the other show, right? Just like a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing. Like, nobody actually thinks that it's going to amount to something greater, right?
I absolutely do. I think
really?
They exist in the same universe now.
There you go.
And that Walter White, you know, he goes on, he survives this, he continues cooking meth, and it becomes so pure.
Yes, this
that
is it.
It actually shuts down your brain functions and turns you into a walking zombie, and that is where the contagion starts in Albuquerque.
This is fan fiction, folks.
That would be a fantastic spin-off. If you did spin-off before the original series was finished and then it turned out to be a spin-off, oh.
Yeah, wow. I mean, if you'll notice, like Breaking Bad is actually a couple years in the past. I think it's like in 2009 right now.
Yep.
You know, Walt and Jesse have old cell phones that you got to flip open.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, where did those come from? It's a show in the past. You know, so it might lead to Walking Dead, which is in current day. Wow, brilliant. I completely retract what I was saying. There's no other way to go about this.
Yeah, and actually they've been really smart about that. Like, remember their Resident Evil convo, Skinny
yes.
Pete and Badger? And
yes,
they're actually referencing like 2008, 2009 games
yep.
instead of just jumping right into the modern day. It's like, wow, they're even careful about that.
Yeah.
That obviously no one except Board 8 would notice if they didn't do that, but they're taking the time to do it right.
Yeah, I mean, when you just think about it, like, I know everybody rightfully probably has a hard-on for Resident Evil 5. Many people have a hard-on for Left 4 Dead. Like, this is arguably the greatest show ever, and, like, Resident Evil 5 and Left 4 Dead are now a part of this show forever. That's awesome. I mean, just as a gamer, that's awesome to think about. But then again, so is Rage, and, you know,
yeah,
I don't know about that one.
All right, that is everything I wanted to cover. Did you guys have anything you wanted to hit on?
I just wanted to say the Walt and Jesse substory, awesome. I could definitely understand it being the favorite substory of the season for many people. Mine, though, Gus and the Cartel, hands down. That was just freaking boss. I mean, that's all you got to say. I mean, you guys definitely know where I'm coming from. I just did not expect that to happen at all. It, like, just kind of came out of nowhere with the flashback scene. And it's just like, damn, makes me shudder even now. It's just so good.
Yeah, that was amazing. And the whole drugging them scene mm-hmm. was so incredible. I said, you know, the season should end right here. How are they ever going to top this?
And the speech afterwards. The speech.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when he's keeling over and dying in pain, you know? And he still gives out that speech. It's perfect. And actually, I've heard that the actor who plays him, Giancarlo Esposito, I don't even know if he's like natively a Spanish speaker, and apparently like his Spanish might have been terrible, you know. But do either guys speak Spanish?
I don't, but I have heard that.
Yeah, and like for some reason, I don't know, it just makes it funny to me. It's just like, it's still, I was so engrossed in it, I'd never be able to tell, maybe even if I knew how to speak Spanish, who the hell knows. It was just so good.
All right, so this was great, and I'll throw it up on the board, and we'll see if anyone listens. If you do listen, post in the topic, let us know. Maybe we'll do this at a future point in time when there's other great shows on. So until then, this is Endgamer and the TV show spinoff, signing out.